2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. It has already been good to be in church. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll look about verse number 3 and read down to where we want to go to. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse number 3. Glad to be in church. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now, you'll notice here in the verses we've read, talks about salvation, gospel. The gospel is the good news, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And here, we see the gospel, and we see the God of this world, who is the devil, has blinded the minds. He does not want you to be saved. He does not want you to come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants to blind your minds. He wants you to get your kids out of church, get them interested in other things, and he doesn't want them under the sound of the gospel, because he wants them, and he wants them in hell with him. You need to raise your kids in church. You need to be saved. If you're not in church, you're not saved and on your way to heaven. The gospel is hid, and the devil wants to keep it hid unto you, lest you believe the light of the glorious gospel that should shine unto you. Then, after you get saved, guess what? Everything doesn't turn into a bed of roses. Everybody says, all I need to do is get saved and everything's going to turn into the street of gold. Well, that's not true. You'll see on television the prosperity gospel. You get saved and you write a $1,000 check and boy, you'll have cars coming in the mailbox and you're going to win the sweepstakes and boy, everything's going to be hunky-dory. That's not true. Because after you get saved, watch what the next thing that happens. Watch this in verse number 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted? Oh yes, persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Ain't that good? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the message already, the message in the Word already, the message in the songs that we've heard. Lord, I pray, God, you'd help us the next few minutes. God, give us the words that encourage the people the most. And Lord, help us to do that today. I don't know what people need. I have no idea, but you do. And Lord, God, I pray that you'd start dealing with hearts right now. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Now the Bible says, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Even though in, 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, Paul starts out this way over there in about verse 8. He said, for we would not, brethren, have you to be ignorant of our trouble which came unto us in Asia. Trouble is going to come. And you're going to be persecuted. You are going to be. Listen, how are we going to live the life of Jesus Christ if we do not experience some of the things Jesus Christ went through? Jesus Christ was betrayed by someone he loved so dearly. When's the last time you've been betrayed by someone that you love so dearly? Ladies and gentlemen, that's what Jesus went through. And you'll notice in verse number 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest, where? In our body. Ain't that something? You want to manifest the life of Jesus Christ. Oh, I want to be a Christian. I want the life of Jesus Christ to shine through me. Oh, do you really? You must be willing to go through what Jesus went through. A lot of people are not willing. The surge of trouble, that's nothing new in the Bible and God's people. That's nothing new. The Bible's filled with all kinds of stories of those that are in trouble. The three Hebrew boys going through the fiery furnace. God delivered them through that. Daniel in the lion's den. We talked about that last week. Joseph went into the pit. He got out of the pit. Then he went into the prison before he could get to the palace. If you don't know how to react in the pit and you don't know how to react in the prison, you'll never make it to the palace. God is molding and making us and giving us things that'll give us the know-how and the experience to get into the palace where He wants us. Paul was shipwrecked and beaten with stripes. Peter was in prison. John, exiled in Alabama. James got his head cut off. David fled from Saul. Samson got his eyes plucked out. You say, preacher, I'm going through it. I think we're in pretty good company. Psalm 34, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. Isn't that good? Someone said this, the road to success is always under construction. It seems that those who seem to have it the hardest always get more done. Well, somebody ought to have said amen a whole lot better than you did there. Over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul puts it this way. There hath no temptation taken you such as common in a man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. Here in 2 Corinthians, I like Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was he was a guy that liked sports. Let me see your hand. Like sport. Paul, right there with you. I mean, you think about this. I love to play golf. Paul was a golfer. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. He loved sports, and he would relate things to a race. He would relate things to running that race. He would relate things over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 to a boxing match and beating the air and putting your body under subjection and training and neglecting your body so you can fight the good fight of faith. Boy, I tell you, he would compare things to wrestling. Boy, ain't that good, Mark. I mean, Mark's always here. He's faithful unless wrestling's on. Hallelujah. But here the Apostle Paul, and I'm joking about that, but here the Apostle Paul gives us these things, and it's almost like when I was looking up these words here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, we're troubled on every side and all these different things, and I'm looking at a fighter here. I'm looking at somebody that has been well trained. But this person that's well trained and is the best of shape does not keep you from getting a lick that will knock you down. Amen. The person that is the best trained will still get knocked down. Amen. You could be reading your Bible every day. You still get knocked down. Right. You could have the best prayer life like Daniel, pray 3 times a day and still get knocked down. And all this according to how well a fighter trains determines how fast he recovers from a serious knockdown. You ever had a knockdown drag out with the devil? Now, I'm not talking about with your spouse. We may lose the battle, but God says He's already won the war. In the book of the Revelation, you read the back of the book, we win. And we're on the winning side. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. We're excited about what God's doing around here. We really are. We're excited about someone thinking enough of Holy Hills Baptist Church to put us on a front page section of a newspaper and tell all about from our success and how the Lord has brought us. But it was not without getting knocked down. The problem is not getting knocked down. The problem is, will you get back up? What better person to talk about being knocked down than Apostle Paul? At one point in his life, he dealt with an issue that he had, and he says over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there has been given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. I prayed to the Lord three different times, and he would not take it away from me." And then the Lord changed my prayer. And he says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Oh, that's the Apostle Paul speaking. And then he goes into, "We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Perplexed, but not in despair." And then I got to looking at some of these words here, and I was going to share with you what I had found out when I looked up these words. I looked up here these words, cast down and not destroyed. I looked up cast down, and the word in the back of the meaning there is sort of knocked down. Not destroyed means not knocked out. So he says you can be knocked down, but not knocked out. You can be knocked down, and it's sort of like a boxing match. You box, and boy, and you see somebody, and the referee is there, and you get hit real good, and you stumble down to maybe one knee, and the referee gets over there, and you get up on before he counts to 10, and he grabs your gloves, and he looks into your eyes, and makes sure you're dilating and all of that kind of thing, and all your eyes is, you're not spaced out. And you ready to go? "Yes, I'm ready to go." And we're on the sidelines. If it was somebody we were pushing for, we're over there going, "Get up! Get up! Get up!" So here in the church, Holy Hills Baptist Church, you see somebody knocked down. What are y'all supposed to be doing? Get up! Get up! Knocked down. Don't get knocked out. So as Apostle Paul says, yes, we're cast down. We're knocked down. But guess what? We're not destroyed. This thing ain't over. Nobody has counted to 10 yet. Paul says, "Bring unto your body the subjection." Paul says, "I fought a good fight." That was in a business meeting that he was in. Paul's talking about, "I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up me a crown of righteousness, who the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that day, and not to me only, but to them that love his appearing." Fight. Be a fight. Cast down. Yes, you're going to get knocked down. But don't get knocked out. Boxing, boy, I used to, and you said, "I like to watch them boxers." And the UFC, hallelujah. You know, at least it's real. Amen. You said, "Man, that stuff ought to be outlawed." Well, I'm going to watch it till they do outlaw it, hallelujah. Yeah. Hey, watch it. Man, they're hitting, and they're getting somebody down for the pin, and they're trying to do a submission hold, and people get knocked down. Hey, let me see if I can shake you up real good. What about this? What about Rocky? How many of you have seen all of Rocky's movies? Woo! Perfect example. I know it's a television show, but some of you need the music. Some of you are knocked down, and you need to hear that music in the background. And your dad, you know, and he fought the Russian guy. I love that. And man, I'm talking about, I said, he can't take another punch. He can't take another punch. Am I right? Am I about right? Yeah. And he can't take another punch. And I'm on the couch going, "Get up! Get up!" And all of a sudden the music starts. I'm like, my blood starts boiling. I'm like, "Oh yeah, here it comes." And the Apostle Paul, he liked Rocky. He said, "You can be knocked out or knocked down, and it looked like it could be over." Oh, it ain't. You wait till that music starts playing. So what kind of music? Hey, I'm talking about Job says he giveth songs in the night. And when you're laying there and you feel like you've been knocked down, and you've been knocked down to one knee, and you can't go any further and you don't know which way to go, He says, hey, you listen to that music and all of a sudden you get your second wind, and all of a sudden you feel like you could tackle hell with a water pistol, and you feel like you could do anything for God, and you get your second wind. Paul says, hey, if you're knocked down, don't get knocked out. You hear that, a referee? That referee's down to about 7 count. Get up! Don't lay there. And then he says this. I said, well, if that was that interesting, then look at this. We're troubled on every side, but not distressed. So cast down, not destroyed. That's knocked down, but not knocked out. Amen. And that's boxing. But this one, troubled and not distressed. I got to look at it that. Troubled has the meaning behind it as being pressed. Being pressed, and then not distressed is, but not pinned.
Amen.
And that's not boxing. That is wrestling. I knew some of you backslid been watching wrestling. Nothing like Saturday morning, Channel 5, wrestling with Dave Brown and Lance Russell. Somebody help me right there. Listen, I'm talking about, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you haven't lived. Cartoons, nothing. Turn on wrestling. And Mark, you tell me. They get there, and this is the whole idea of wrestling. The whole idea is wrestling is we're troubled, we're pressed, but we're not distressed. We're not pinned. So, he gets us down. Our opponent gets us down. And it's like, one, two, and then all of a sudden, what? Hey, I'm pressed. Ain't nobody pinned me yet. Hey, I mean, your leg is rolled up, and boy, he's going, one, two, and all of a sudden, you're like, And the shoulder comes up, and everybody cheers. And I know some of that, you know, that stuff is don't tell Mark, but it's fake. And but you can't help but get into it. You can't help but get into it. And even though you know it's an entertainment, all that stuff, you still, the referee's like, one, two, and you're like, ah. And if it's somebody you want to be pinned, you're like, referee, count, one, two, three, and it's over. Some of you may be down for the two count. And you're pressed. But you're not pinned yet. Won't you throw your shoulder up? Hey, during one of these songs, why don't you just throw your throw your shoulder. Maybe you need to throw both of them up. Hey, I'm pressed. I'm down for the two count, but I ain't pinned yet. Hallelujah. This is what Paul said. And Paul is an athletic type individual. He gives us an example of boxing. He gives us an example of wrestling. But watch this one. Then he says, after he says we're troubled on every side, but not distressed. That's pressed and not pinned. We are perplexed, but not in despair. So I looked that up, and perplexed is there's no way out of this thing. But not in despair, find a hole. What is that? That's football. You're down, and everybody's, you know, counting all the numbers, you know, da 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 da, and you're waiting on the hut hut.
Right. Amen.
Now listen to me, football. You got a whole line in front of you, and pardon my English, there ain't no hole.
Amen.
So what do you got to do?
Make one.
Amen. And so I remember in high school, we played just goofing off, you know, and we was down there, and we had all these guys in front of us, and man, I'm down on this end, and I'm telling you, and this, I'm talking about he was 300 pound plus.
Amen.
300 plus. And I looked at him, I called the guy's name, before they were doing all these plays stuff, I said, look, I don't know what you're fixing to do. I'm going to tell you what I'm fixing to do. You see that guy right down there? He's coming this way. And he's fixing to make a hole through here. I don't know what you're going to do. I'm moving out of the way. If you know what's best for you, you better move out of the way. Hut, hut, and that guy goes. Some of you may be perplexed. You may be at the Red Sea, and there is no way to go through. There is no hole. You're perplexed, but we're not in despair. Because why? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Make a hole. That's what Paul says. Football, make a hole. We're out in the wilderness. We're going around in circles. We're looking for a hole to get through. It looks like giants on every side. We're coming through. We'll make a hole if there's not a hole. We're coming through. We are not in despair. We may be perplexed. It may look like a hole line. It may look like there's no hole to go through. But we're not despaired. We're fixing to make one. Sort of like Wendy Bagwell said. Y'all remember this story, Wendy Bagwell. He said he went to a church one time over in the hills of East Tennessee, and he said he noticed that while he's up there singing, he said there's some boxes up here. And every now and then they'd rattle a little bit. Hallelujah. He's telling that story. He said, this is the truth with my hand up. He said, here they come, and the preacher come back there and unlock them boxes. Here come them rattlesnakes out. He said, I looked to my right, I looked to my left, and there wasn't a door anywhere. He said, I asked the preacher, where you want a door? Because I'm fixing to make one. If you look and there's not a door, you better make one. The old song said this. Is there any rivers you can't cross? A mountain you can't tunnel through? But there's a God. There's a God that can see you through. Oh, yeah. I'm talking about if you could see, all right, watch this. I know it's 12, some of you. Look, the Baptist salute. That don't bother me. Y'all look at your watch all you want to. Whatever you need to do. If the roast is burning, I got about two more points and one tear-jerking illustration, and I'll be done. But if you could see a hole when you're in the football, if you could see a hole, that wouldn't leave room for God to work. If you can do it, hey, folks, let me help our church, Holy Hills Baptist Church. You see them plans out on the wall? If we had $5 million in the bank right today, we'd build it without God. But we don't have listen to me. We do not have $5 million in the bank. We do not have $5 million in the bank. And we don't know where the hole is, but we fix to make one. Amen. And then he says this, and I'm hurried. I'm joking, but I'm hurrying. And then he goes, this is the last thing he says, persecuted, but not forsaken. Persecuted, but not forsaken. And I got to look at that. And I said, well, now, the cast down, not destroyed, that's boxing. Troubled and not distressed, that's wrestling. Perplexed and not despaired, that's football. Persecuted, but not forsaken. I looked at those words. Persecuted, that means falling back. Not forsaken, but not left. Yeah. Falling behind, when a person's in a race, sometimes they fall behind. But guess what? They're still in the race. They ain't been left yet. Sometimes you may have fell back on your Bible reading. You may have fell back on your prayer life. But the Apostle Paul says, hey, you can still catch up. You're still in this race. You may be falling behind. You may be persecuted. But you hadn't been left. You hadn't been forsaken. So rear your head back up. Know you're on your way to heaven. And catch up. Amen. Know you not that ye should run a race? Run all. They which run a race, run for the prize. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12 over there says, lay aside every weight that so easily beset us. And let us look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You may be a fell behind. I learned this. Let me give you a couple illustrations. We'll go. I learned this going and preaching North Carolina, where the waters are from. where they live now. And I go out there a couple times a year and preach. I preach in tent meeting, and then Brother Mustin's over there at Jamestown, North Carolina, over there very close to Mount Airy where Andy Griffin, the set is for Andy Griffin show. And I preach over there, and I'm telling you, 10, 11 hours, okay, in the car. And I learned this. My dad told me this. I said, Dad, man. This is what he said. He probably don't remember this, but this is what he said. He said, don't drive from Dyersburg to North Carolina. Drive from here to Jackson. And when you get to Jackson, drive from there to Dixon. When you get to Dixon, drive there to Nashville. When you get to Nashville, drive there to Crossville. Then when you get to Crossville, you drive from Crossville to Knoxville. Then when you get to Knoxville, you drive from Knoxville to Asheville. You get to Asheville, you drive from Asheville to Jamestown.
Amen. Right.
You got it? Some of you are trying to go from A to B, and you're trying to get to B tomorrow. Why don't you just take one day at a time? Why don't you just take one day at a time? Why don't you just drive from here to Jackson and say, all right, God, what you got? All right, drive to Dixon. All right, God, I'm going to drive to Dixon. Go to Dixon. All right, Lord, what? Drive to Nashville. Don't try to do it all in one day.
Amen.
You'll fall behind that way. That rhymed, didn't it? I was thinking about this, and I'm done. Brother Daniel, get ready to sing a suitable song, maybe, if you got something on your heart. But I'm thinking about David Ring. Have you ever heard of David Ring? David Ring's got cerebral palsy, born with cerebral palsy. They told him he was called to preach. His mom said, you know, you won't ever be called to preach. You can't walk. You're crippled. And you can't even talk right. Nobody understands you. You know how many people he has preached to? And he would preach this sermon. He would preach, I have cerebral palsy. What's your problem? He would preach, and he's preached Jerry Falwell was alive and all out there. And I'm not supporting or against whatever. I'm just saying when he was preaching out there, preaching to all kinds of people, and many people got helped by this man. He was crippled, born with cerebral palsy, and he took one day at a time, and he was not, he was troubled on every side, but he wasn't distressed. He was perplexed, but not in despair. He was persecuted, but not forsaken. He was cast down, but he wasn't destroyed. Then I think of a fella, and I'm going to call names, and they may be listed today, but there's a fellow over in Arkansas named Philip Jenkins. Philip Jenkins. Same little situation. A crippled young man. Been told all of his life that we're going to be able to do nothing. He can't hardly see much further than that in front of his face. Today, he's went through some of our Bible Institute courses. He pastors a little church. He has, he would have killed somebody to pastor a church. May have. Pastors a little church over in Arkansas. One of the deacons has to go by his house and pick him up because he can't drive. And he pastors that church. One of the deacons come by, pick his house. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, pick him up. Take him to church. He gets up there and preaches. Yeah, yeah. He's troubled on every side, but he's not distressed. He's perplexed, but not in despair. He's persecuted, but not forsaken. He's cast down, but he's sure not destroyed. And I get to thinking about another fella who went through some of the Bible Institute courses, Stacy Reed. Blind, can't see nothing. Can't see a thing. He'll call him on the phone. Brother Jeremy, I'm studying this right here. And he's got a Bible that's in Braille. It's like in 12 volumes. It's so large, a whole Bible. And he goes through, studies the Bible that way. Y'all remember this? Miss Kathy, I know she does, Miss Kathy, and Larry Poteet, I know they remember it because Bobby Bolin. How many of y'all remember Bobby Bolin? Well, I know it's been a while, but back in the Yates Auditorium and even the old building. He's in a wheelchair. Big, heavy-set fella, bald-headed, and he's crippled. And you're talking about, he is the best thing to be around. If you're down, you get around Bobby Bolin. Man, he'll light your fire. He tells of a story one time. He's just this way. He's a shouter. He just gets happy and excited. Woo! You know. He lives in an assisted living place. He's in a wheelchair, and he went out to check the mail, and his neighbors always hear him all the time over there. He's got music on. He's going, woo! Woo! And they're like, oh, that's Bobby Bolin. He's in the spirit again. He went out to check the mail. His wheelchair got hung up in one of those drains. He's trying to get back in the house. He's stuck outside. He's going, hey, somebody help me. He's like, that's Bobby Bowling. He's in the spirit again. He said, I stayed out there for like 10 hours. They thought I was in the spirit. I wasn't in the spirit. I was trying to get in my house. Funniest man you can be around. And he has every reason to be in despair. But he's not distressed. He's not. He's cast down. He's not destroyed. He's troubled. He's not distressed. He's perplexed. He's not in despair. He's persecuted. He's not forsaken. How about you? I heard a preacher tell this. I'm done. Brother Daniel, come on. I heard a preacher tell this little story. He run up on two little boys fighting. And he was fighting. He started. He said, boys, break it up. And the boy, this little boy, man, was getting beat up. I'm talking about he got hit seven times. The little boy looked up at the preacher and said, don't stop the fight. I'm catching my second wind. And the preacher stood back and he goes, that day was born a natural leader. Because he would not quit. And he took the licks. And he got knocked down, but he would not get knocked out. And I'm looking at folks here in the building this morning, and I know I went a little longer than I... If you're busy, this is usually longer than what I usually go. But listen, some of you in this room, you've been knocked down, and the devil, is giving you, I'm talking about some good licks. You want to make the devil mad? Keep getting up. Keep getting up. Because we already read over in Psalms, who helps you up? There's the Lord up in heaven that'll lift you up every time. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, you'd help the invitation right now.